Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.
And now, he is a ninja of numbers, a grabber of greenbacks, ladies and gentlemen, the Baron of Bettendorf Financial Group, Mr. Doug Weir. Happy Monday, Doug.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. And it is a beautiful day out there. It's going to be a great one. Springtime feels like it's here, my friend.
It sure does. Was first day of spring still, I don't know, 10, 12, 9 or 10 days away, I think. But yeah, we'll take this all the way.
Yeah, well, I think they can head fake us once in a while and they'll throw snow at us, but I think we're pretty much there. So that's awesome.
I agree.
I love it.
Are markets seasonal? You know, over your 40 plus years in this deal, do you see things go better in certain seasons?
Yeah, it does. It's supposed to run seasonally, and it used to be that you go away in the summer. It used to be go away in May, come back in September. The markets were dead over the summer, but that's not been the case the last 2 years. Markets have really seized the summertime and gone year round. Although it does seem like later in the year we do get the Santa Claus surprise, and every year the markets do kind of cruise up at the end of the year. So yeah, I would say there's some seasonality to it. A lot of money coming in right now and IRA deposits for tax season and stuff like that. There's a lot of extra money that comes in. So yeah, I'd say a little bit seasonally.
Gotcha. I was just curious, you know, I mean, with the amount of time you've got in this, you know, you see patterns, you see stuff that maybe normally people wouldn't see.
Yeah, I'd say on a monthly basis too, we'll watch. I'll pay attention to when I'm buying things. You know, I'll pay attention to somebody gave me a large chunk of cash last week from the sale of a home, a second home they had, and they're downsizing, and so we're taking the cash and parking it right now. So I'm parking the cash in a money market, and then as we wish, we will periodically take money from the cash and buy things. Last week when the markets were down, I bought a few things for a few clients like that. You keep those opportunities to buy stuff. When stuff's on sale, you buy. So, yeah, but in the month, it's an earnings week. Maybe their earnings will make the market, you know, pull back a little bit. And if it's a stock we want to buy, we'll buy it. It's more, I guess seasonally is the way to put it.
Okay. Well, now I know. I appreciate that.
Wishy-washy answer. Wishy-washy answer, but
well, it's not a cut and dry question, really, Doug. So
no, it's not really a cut and dried answer, too. Sorry about that.
All good. We'll take that. My dog security alarm just went off. We had someone looking in the window.
Oh, I heard that go off. My four are still sleeping. I got four here right now. All four of them are sleeping.
Well, geez, when you got, I only have three dogs inside. I got three outside. So, but I only bring one with me here. So far, we just got a puppy Saturday. And she's not quite ready to go for walks after work yet, but she was not happy about having to stay at home and everybody else got up and left because we just got her Saturday morning. So then Sunday, naturally, we woke up, everybody's home, you know, and she's just hanging out and doing her thing. And now she's stuck home. So, I'll have to go rescue her here after the show, but, let's see. What do I want to bring up today? Well, I saw some interesting numbers, over the weekend. So U.S. gross domestic product is $30.34 trillion a year, or it was last year, largest economy in the world. China's number two at $19.53 trillion. And then Canada and Mexico, much further down the list, but between those three countries, they make up 41% of all U.S. trade. And then the U.S. accounts for 26% of the total global economic output, and the U.S. economy is 50% bigger than the 27-member European Union combined. And I'm bringing these numbers up because it feels like, the Trump administration very much seemingly throwing their weight around being the big boy and trying to use that as an advantage to get us out of all the disadvantaged deals we were seemingly in with countries, or basically where countries just take advantage of us, and we're okay with that?
Well, we're okay with it, and we've been okay with it since World War II. So what we're dealing with is a continuation of the Monroe Doctrine. And for those that forget that from history class, the Monroe Doctrine was put in right after World War II, and basically it was a way for us to subsidize the world. It was a way for the United States and our powerful economy to subsidize the world. Canada is a great example. Let's just pick on Canada. So Canada is a very small economy, as you mentioned. And in most cases, most of the goods and services that flow from our side, from the U.S., into Canada have some seriously large tariffs. We're talking 200+% on milk and cheese. I thought it was 100 to 200. It's over 200% tariffs on our milk and cheese going across the border. Anything that we ship north has huge tariffs and has had for years. Let me explain what that is. That is basically subsidizing their economy through the use of pushing our stuff across the border and then taxing the hell out of it. And so what we're seeing is a continuation of that subsidization, if you will, of nations around the world. And Trump is saying, we're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to have it be a one-way tariff.
And then they get all mad, even though they've been doing it to us forever.
Forever. I've got the stats on Canada. It was crazy. It came across my desk, and I was just shocked. I did not realize the extent of some of the tariffs. They're huge. And that ends up being subsidizing their economy. And what's crazy to me is, worried about subsidizing their economy while they're taxing the heck out of their people. As an example, I have some clients that just from Rock Island here, they just had to sell their they had a beautiful cabin, if you will, up in Canada on a lake they've had for over 30 years, and they were forced to sell it because if they waited till this year to sell it, the taxes go up. The capital gains taxes are 66% starting this year if they sell their property.
In Canada?
Think about that. Yeah, in Canada.
Well, I mean, I know they're socialists, but holy smokes.
66% capital gains tax.
That's insanity.
That is insanity. So they were forced to sell it, and I love these people. I feel so bad for them. It was their dream retirement home, and they're just at that point now where they can go up there on a regular basis, but not anymore. They were forced to sell it. And I don't know why people think, gee, I want to go to Canada. I'm like, I don't think you really want to go to Canada. The food prices up there are at least 50% more than ours in most cases. And things aren't that great up there.
I mean, right now, it's cold all the time. Everybody lives on the southern border. Yeah. I mean, people talk funny, and I always just think McKenzie Brothers, you know, Strange Brew, when I think Canada, like, hey, it's a jelly, eh? You know, that's, ain't got any back bacon. You know, but that's wild. I mean, I guess that's how a socialist country, I mean, can you imagine if that was the deal in America? People would lose their mind.
No. And healthcare, yes, it's free, or it's included. Not
I've heard
free.
It's not it's great, included. Though.
No, it's horrible. I just had someone, I saw scheduled the checkup, an annual checkup, but it's scheduled for next January. They're over a year out to schedule it. I'm like,
wow.
Come on.
So then what do you do if you have an emergency?
Yeah, you go to the U.S. or you pay for private care. And that's what people who have money up there do. They cross the border into the U.S. or they do, what's it called, something tourism,
medical tourism?
Medical tourism, where they get their knee surgery done in another country, or they get their surgery done in another country if they want it done sooner. You know, it's not ideal. Now, I've been to Canada. It's beautiful. The exchange rate is less than 70 cents on the dollar right now, so it's a bargain to go up there if you're American. But, boy, don't go in the grocery stores and stuff. From what I've seen, the pricing is just insane. It would be difficult to live up there right now.
Anytime. I mean, if they're already taking whatever percent, I mean, I know in Europe a few years ago, I don't know what it is now, but the socialist take was either 45 or 54, depending on how much you made. You either paid 45% in taxes or 54% in taxes. And that was from someone wrote a story for the Wall Street Journal or something. They had been in, they had been transferred or something to do like the European beat. And so they did a story on the differences in, you know, what you're paying. And for them, they were on the 45%. And the guy was like, well, you know, you don't get much on a paycheck, but we don't have to worry about health care. And then when the kids are getting ready to go to school, a few weeks before school starts, you get a check in the mail from the government to go get whatever they need for school. So any, all education stuff, at least over there, I don't know, comparative to Canada, I'm not sure. But but I know over there where they were, that that's how it worked. And so it's like, well, we paid, you know, 22 or 24%, probably some folks only 12%, depending on where you're at. But we pay 22% and then we pay another 20% of our money goes to health insurance. So we're right at 42 already. And, you know, so it's maybe not that much different, but for me, like there's just something about the, I guess the American way, the entrepreneurial, you know, entrepreneurial spirit. Did I say that right? Anyway, that whole, you know, going for it, you know, working for it, working two jobs, doing all the things you can to get ahead in life. And there actually being a slim possibility. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't even achieve the American dream. Blah, blah. No, no, you can.
Yes, you can.
It's just not easy. That's what people need to understand, especially the younger generation. They're like, oh, they're the emoji guy with their hands in the air. Like, I can't afford this. I can't do that. Get another job. Bonehead. I've had two jobs or had two jobs almost my entire life, sometimes three. And that, but I grew up in a trailer park. I live in a house now. That's, you know, that's my transfer. That's the way I look at it. Like I've moved up a little bit in my life and I want to keep moving up, and I've been lucky and fortunate and had a lot of good people on my side. But ultimately it was me working weekends. It was me working at night. It was me working two, three jobs my whole life to even get over that hump. It's just not easy.
You're right. I say often, if it is to be, it's up to me. If it is to be, it's up to me. You've got to remember
I like that.
Yep. If it is to be, it's up to me. I remember many times being down in my career when I had bosses leave or I had someone fail me or someone take off that I trusted or counted on in my career. And I remember you have to put your head down and keep moving forward. And remember, if it is to be, it's up to me. And that's the great attitude that gets us ahead in this world. I've got a young lady that works for me. I'm very proud of her, Jordan. And Jordan, she works for me full-time all day. And then she works full-time at night at UPS. So she's working two full-time jobs right now. She's under 30 years of age. She just bought a house last week.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud. And she got her student debt all paid off. And in less than 2 years, she got it all paid off. She had a pile of student debt and working two jobs. She decided to live at home a little bit longer with her parents, with their blessing. And you know what? It's been awesome. She's debt-free now, and she's buying a house. I'm very proud of her.
Hey, if you're working two full-time jobs, you're not around much anyway, Doug Weir. You know, like, sure, you can stay here. We're never going to see you, but whatever.
Yeah, she asked, can I leave at 4:30 or 4 o'clock instead of 4:30? I'll come in a little early. And we're like, oh, okay, why? And she's, well, I work full-time at UPS at night. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Gosh, I love people like that.
Yeah.
Because you and I did that when we were younger. You work a couple jobs if you have to.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a situation where, you know, my dad died as a kid anyway, but you know, it wasn't like my parents were handing me any money. I mean, and it was a different era then too, where it was, I feel like more common that you were expected to earn your own, pay your own, you know what I mean? A lot more kids left at 18, 19, left home then than they do now. When I was that age. Way. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I moved out then.
A lot longer.
Yeah. And I moved out when I was, 19 and, same. You know, and never looked back, basically. It wasn't like an option in my head to ever move back home. It was, okay, what do I have to do to survive?
Great. But that's more unusual now. People are living at home longer, so I like to point out the positives. When I run across somebody like her, I'm like, hey, good for you know? Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know there is, and there's hope. There's a lot of people out there that are hard workers. I've got two or three young people that I'm working with and helping them get their stuff set up and teaching them a little bit about how to set up a business and stuff. And they're hard workers. I like to encourage that, you know, people, and tell them, Austin's another one that I work with, and I told him, you don't realize it, but you are a mentor to some of your friends. I look at you, and I talk to some of your friends, and they look up to you because they know you're doing all the right things. Keep it up. People need to see that.
Heck yeah. So, no, yeah, it's out there. It's just hard. I mean, two full-time jobs, that's, and most people are probably like, are you crazy? You know, they couldn't imagine that, but that's how you get ahead, you know, and if she keeps with it, you know, she'll not only pay off her house really quick, she could start investing money at her day job. And, you know, before long, you're sitting on the right side of things.
Oh, I already did some projections for her. I helped her dream a little bit. And she's going to be a millionaire. I mean, she's going to end up being a millionaire at a young age, and she'll be able to do whatever she wants to do. And it's all because she buckled down young. She regrets. She went to college, and she thought she had a career in another area. And I counseled her on that, too. She didn't like what she was doing, and so she's doing something else. And she felt bad about it, but I'm like, hey, all that education didn't hurt you just because you got a master's degree in doing something else. So it's actually childhood development. I said, hey, working for us, that's important. You need to take care of all of us. Some of that will come into play.
For sure. But,
I'm seeing a few of that. I'm starting to see there's another generation that's coming up behind Generation X, behind Generation Alpha, and it's getting a bad moniker. It's being called Generation Beta, and I don't really like that because it makes them sound lazy and stuff, but they have an attitude towards money and stuff that's a little different and a little more refreshing. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well,
they're not spenders, they're savers. So we'll see.
I haven't seen this this generation. I look at Gen Z, which I'm not sure if that's alpha or beta, you know, because there's always different names, but they seem to value clicks and likes more than money. Their social media is their bank. Like, how many people are paying attention to me? How many? And that's a younger thing, and I think you have to kind of, well, not everybody's going to grow out of it, but that they value different things in a different way. And so working two jobs or really being worried about what's going to happen next doesn't really seem to register too much until mom or dad stick a boot up your butt and get you out of the basement.
That is Gen Z.
Yeah.
You are so right. That is Gen Z. Yeah, I'm sorry. We might have lost them.
Jeez, Doug. Put it out there like that.
I didn't mean to throw them out. No, we'll save them. They'll come
we
back.
We might have lost them. Oh, man. All right.
Well, you threw that out there. It was too easy to hit the ball.
I know. Teed it up for you.
But, no, I know what you're saying. They value experiences. Oh, I can't afford to pay for this bill. Can you help me pay for this bill? However, I'm going to go to a concert next week because it's going to be a great – I have to go. I'm like, wait a minute. You need money to pay for this, but yet at the same time you've already paid for – and experience several hundred dollars to go to a concert because you have to go. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they value things very differently.
Yeah. Well, again, it's the difference of mom and dad stock the kitchen, pay for everything, or how am I going to make rent this week, or how am I going to pay my electric bill, or how much do I have to, you know, I have $10 for a food budget this week. You know, that was my food budget for a long time when I was 19, 20, 10 bucks. For the week, buy eggs, buy bread, buy potatoes, buy ramen noodles. Occasionally, we'd get a little crazy and get hamburger helper and some hamburger. But, you know, that was peanut butter sandwiches, eggs for breakfast. You know, that was life. You do ramen noodles on a baked potato. It's pretty good, Doug Weir. It's not bad. And seriously, that's how I lived, for a long time. So it was... And I was spending money on other things that were probably not as important as food, but I still ate, I still paid my bills, and, you know, here we are. So, but,
I'm right there with you. I remember very early on, my wife and I living when those 49-cent fish sandwiches were for sale on Fridays, man, we were living high. We got to go out to eat.
Yeah.
We'd grab them sandwiches, go home, sit in front of our used color television and watch TV.
Yeah.
That was midnight, you know?
Well, it all takes time.
It does take time, and that's the problem a lot of people have. Is I try to slow people down. Is, you know, relax. You're 20 something years old. It's not going to all happen at once. And as you said, everybody wants quick riches and get rich quick. But you can't get rich quick. It's get rich slow. I tell everybody, I'll help you get rich, but I'll help you get rich slow. If you listen to me, I'll make you wealthy. But it'll be over time. It's not going to be instantly. You're not going to get rich quick.
Right, right. It's a climb. It's hard work, and that's what it is. So anyway, the American dream is still alive. It just isn't easy. So.
Well, it's very possible. With everything available in this country and with all the opportunities, I look around me every day and I think, you know, if I were younger, I would do this or I would do that. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. I see those. I have another young man. He works full-time as a mechanic, pretty much self-taught as a mechanic. He works all week, and then he takes off a little early on Friday, gets himself cleaned up. And Friday and Saturday nights, he's a server at a high-end restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes more money. He makes almost as much money those two nights serving as he does all week as a mechanic.
Yeah.
Think about that.
For years, I worked, had a construction business or worked for someone in construction, and then I was a bar DJ Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. And so instead of drinking and partying and all that stuff on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, I was making money, you know, basically a second income. And I built that up and would do weddings and stuff too. Then I had people working for me doing the DJing gig where I was making money and they were there. And, you know, it's just not easy. So
there's a perfect example. That is a perfect example. I've got another young man, Scott, that is finally starting to replicate himself. Hard worker, does a ton of stuff for us. And he finally, I talked him into hiring people to work for him and replicate himself. In other words, he lines up the jobs and gets jobs for them. They're thrilled, and he can make a little bit more money, and he's starting to.
Yeah.
It's a matter of doing the little extras, as you said, and it's possible in our economy. You go to other countries, people, it's not possible. You know, even some other states, it's tough unless you're licensed and you do things. But we're very fortunate. We live in a very, very hospitable country, and it allows us to do these things, so take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Quit your whining.
There you go. I love it. All right, Doug. Well, hey, thanks again for your time and your insight as always, sir. We sure appreciate you on Mondays.
Yep.
And folks, if you want to, you know, start moving in the right direction, go talk to Doug and all the folks down at Bettendorf Financial Group. They'll take fine good care of you. You have a good week, Doug.
Yep, you too, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. Bye. All right, we've got to do the disclaimer again.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.